The KCIS Ministry of the Month.
The KCIS Ministry of the Month for July, Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Heard weekday mornings at 11, Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram reflects his passion in helping Christians really live like Christians. As a pastor, author, and teacher for more than three decades, Chip has helped believers around the world move from spiritual spectators to healthy, authentic disciples of Jesus. Find out more about Living on the Edge at livingontheedge.org. Recently, Chip was talking about believers' desire to control their relationship with God, in particular the first and second command against idol worship.
I want to start with an apocryphal story that has no theological bearing, and I'm sure someone made it up, but it makes a tremendous point. There's a little boy who wanted a bike, and he was a ornery, almost downright mean little boy. And he said, "Mom, I want a bike. Mom, I want a bike. Mom, I want a bike." And he tried and tried and tried. She said, "You are a mean, ornery little boy, and I'm not going to give you a bike. You need to learn some major lessons in life." And so he just kept asking, and he wanted a bike. And so finally, she said, "Well, why don't you talk to Jesus? And maybe Jesus will give you a bike." And so he decided he would sit down and have a little talk with Jesus, and was not a child that would really actually go to church much, and he was ornery and mean. And so he sat down and he thought he wasn't good at praying, he would write it out. And so he started his letter, "Dear Jesus, I've been perfect. Will you please give me a bike?" He was also a liar, so he crumpled that up and threw it away. And then he wrote another note and he said, "Dear Jesus, I've really not been perfect, but I've been very good. Would you please give me a bike?" And he crumpled that up, threw it around. Then finally he said, "Dear Jesus, I want to be good, but I'm not." And then he kind of tilted his head. "No, that's not really true either." He crumpled it up, threw it. And he remembered a friend and came from a little bit different background. And he went to his friend's house and he found a statue of Mary. He took the statue of Mary when they weren't looking, wrapped her in a towel, put duct tape around the towel, stuck Mary, the towel, and the duct tape under his bed, and then wrote the last note. "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, you better give me a bike." Now, somebody made that up, but it definitely tells a story. It's self-indicting because it reflects one of the most common attempts of all people of all time. It's our desire to get God in small, manageable terms that we can control, to get him to do for us on our terms what we want done. And often the way to do that is with some sort of object that can take God from the invisible, eternal, awesome, all-powerful creator to a something we can see, control, tame, and manage. And the second command is going to talk about God's prohibition, his boundary against that. You'll notice by way of review, the focus of the first command is the object of our worship. You might just write the word object down. It's about the who. No gods but God. God demands exclusive worship of Yahweh. That's his point. The focus of the second command is not the object, but the manner or the method of our worship. This is the how. He's going to say that even if you worship the right God, you can worship the right God in the wrong way. And I said to bring a pen because we need to do a little Bible study. Have you got it? Pull it out. And we're going to read the next passage out of Exodus 20, but the structure is very simple. There are two commands and two reasons. First, the command, "You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or on the water underneath the earth." Verse 5, "You shall not worship them or serve them." Underline, if you will, "shall not make for yourself an idol." That's the first command. It says, don't make any idol. By the way, the word for idol here, there's 14 different Hebrew words for idol. This particular word means a statue, a figurine, a wooden or a molten object. Then the next word, not only is it an idol, but he expands it to any likeness, any visual or pictorial representation. He says, don't make pictures in your worship and try to reduce God down to a snapshot. And so the first command is, don't make an idol, don't make a likeness of anything you see. Now you remember, They're living in a world where the sun, the moon, the stars, and every animal under the sun has been worshipped. God says, command number one, don't do it. Notice command number two, you shall not worship them or serve them. Not only are you not to make an idol or a likeness, but you shall not worship them. Literally, the word means to bow down, to physically bow down, to worship or serve these idols or likenesses that you could make. Then notice the two reasons. He says, for I, the Lord, his covenant name Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God. Underline that, will you? That's the first reason. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Interesting. All throughout the Old Testament, when God's people would turn away from him and worship an idol or worship another God, he would call it spiritual adultery. And he says that when we turn away from the true God, or when you develop a pattern where God, out of his zealous, loyal, caring love, he says that when we worship an idol, we actually are demonstrating that we hate him.
Chip Ingram and Living on the Edge, the KCIS Ministry of the Month for July. Hear his program weekday mornings at 11 exclusively on KCIS.
The KCIS Ministry of the Month.